One, two, three, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight live for Diz Dad's podcast number 250 for December 14th, 2014 are David Jort.
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Darcy McKillop.
Howdy, everyone.
And Don Donfris.
How's everybody doing?
And tonight, we're going to be going meta on you. We're going to talk live about our favorite live shows at Walt Disney World. But before we get to that discussion, I do want to once again thank our podcast sponsors, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Next time you're planning a family vacation, especially a themed entertainment destination vacation, consider working with a Fairytale Journeys travel agent. They'll take care of all of those dates and deadlines and headaches of putting together a detailed vacation and let you relax and focus on the fun. Tell them what you like to do. They'll help you find the most efficient, least expensive, most enjoyable way to do it. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, guys. So we're going to start in just a little bit talking about our favorite live shows at Walt Disney World. But before we get into that too much, there are, as I like to do with live shows in general, just a few kind of Diz Dad's news and notes that I wanted to mention. The first is that we're still trying to gather enough orders so that we're pre-orders so that we can submit a production run of the Diz Dad's polo shirts. I know that several of the guys have shirts now, really enjoy them. That's why we're trying to do a second production run. I guess the downside of the fact that they're really high quality and hold up well is that people don't need to reorder. So anyway, the order form is still live at DizDads.com, and I'll put the direct link in the show notes again. I'll take orders for a couple more days, and hopefully we'll have enough. We're getting close. I know we've got some guys, including Paul Lawson over across the ocean, who are really hoping that we're able to submit another production run soon. And this is a great time to get your order in. I can't guarantee that the shirt itself will be there in time for the holidays, but you know, we can always have it arrive as a belated gift. Second thing I wanted to do is once again remind everybody about the Diz Dad's Dream Cruise. We're going to be sailing on the Disney Dream out of Port Canaveral on June 22nd, 2014. It's a great cruise itinerary. I mean, you know, it's a short cruise, but we do get a double stop at Castaway Key. And what more could you ask for? If you are interested in joining us for that cruise, just get an email to me. You can email me at podcast@dizdads.com, and I'm happy to see what we can do about finding availability for you on that cruise. And the next travel announcement is just to remind everybody that the Diz Dad's Convention 3 is right around the corner, and organization for this one's probably been a little more informal, a little more relaxed, but we do have some fun stuff coming. The most recent is that actually David Jort, who's going to be on the show here with us tonight, is helping us to organize our first ever Diz Dad's Monorail Bar Hop. We're going to be doing some beer tasting, doing some cocktail tasting, and I'm going to be trying to record some on-location audio. Hopefully it'll be enough good recording that I'll be able to come back home and cut it all together into a sort of different kind of beer cast, or as we're starting to look at it more as a beer and booze cast. But should be a lot of fun if you're going to be, you know, at Walt Disney World for Marathon Weekend. January 8th through 11th is kind of the core of it. There are some people who are going to arrive a little earlier, some people staying a little later. You know, January 8th through 11th is the heart of the Marathon Weekend and also the Diz Dads Convention time. We are looking at Friday night, January 9th, for our monorail bar hop. Finally, last note, and this is the most timely one, we scheduled to do our Diz Dads Secret Santa reveal tomorrow. You can check the Diz Dads discussion boards at boards.dizdads.com. I'll have a gift reveal thread set up there. My guess is that there's going to be some gift revealing going on at Facebook as well. But in any case, this is, I think, the second or third of these Secret Santas we've done, and we've had a lot of fun with them each time. Everybody seems to really get into the spirit, and I'm looking forward to sharing the gift I received. Very thoughtful. Okay, so enough of me rambling. Let's get on with the fun of the live show. Tonight we're talking about our favorite live shows, and you know that's one of the things I think that really sets apart Walt Disney World as a theme park as opposed to an amusement park. You know, shows at an amusement park, I've never seen one that I would consider terrific. There are a few okay. But both in terms of quality and quantity, there's so much to see at Walt Disney World, and we thought we'd talk about some of our favorites. So why don't we just start this off alphabetically, I guess, by first names. We've got all the D-boys here. So, Darcy, I think you come up first. And why don't you share with us one of the live shows at Walt Disney World that's on your list of favorites?
Thanks, Aaron. The my favorite, and I think most of our family's favorite, is definitely the Festival of the Lion King show. It's just an awesome show. We try to get to it every time we're at Animal Kingdom. Last March, we were at Animal Kingdom for a day, and we didn't get to see it because it was closed down for the new stadium construction, and we're just a little disappointed in that. But the show is just I don't think there's another show on property that comes close to it. There's a lot of good shows, but definitely Festival of Lion King is my favorite live show.
All right, now I'm going to push it for just a minute here as we're starting off and ask, you know, what are the things that make it your favorite show? And we've all talked about it on the show before. We know what the source material is, but what is it about that show that makes it a favorite?
I think there's a number of different things for me personally. I think the energy in the show from the moment it starts to the time it ends certainly brings a lot to it. It's nonstop. The audio that goes along with it, the performances, the visuals, the color, it's all just amazing in my mind that they can do that and do it over and over during the day. The other thing that I guess that makes it part of my favorite is I get to be the lead of the Warthog section in one show. So that, you know, provides a good memory for me.
Okay. So those are all, you know, important components and all make that show stand out for you. How about you, David? What's your one of your favorite Walt Disney World live shows?
Well, I'm going to kind of skip some of the obvious ones here. I'm sure that they'll come up. But I'm gonna start off with Disney Junior Live on Stage.
Interesting choice.
And it's obviously puppeteering. A lot of it. I'm just a fan of it because of the interaction that they have with the kids. That's where we're at our stage in life right now. Two little ones, especially my littlest now. He's completely into Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. So just seeing my daughter's reaction to that when she was four, now she's seven, and then with him coming up now. It's high energy there. It's one of the, I don't want to say one of the few things, but it's very engrossing for the kids. You know, sometimes you sit them down at some of these other shows and okay, they're great for the first 10, 15 minutes or anything like that. And then they start to get a little antsy. I noticed that Nat, like with this one, they're just engrossed the entire time. But the audience participation, just kind of everything overall, I think they do a pretty darn good job.
All right. Yeah, that's a great example of one that if you don't have small kids, you might overlook. But I actually know people who don't have little kids anymore who still go over to see it just because they enjoy watching, you know, those kids who are David's kids' age, you know, getting into that show and really enjoying it. Okay, so how about you, Don? We've had something from Animal Kingdom. We've had something from Hollywood Studios. What's your favorite live show?
Favorite live show would be, you know, I'm going to stay away from some of the obvious stuff because we tend to like some of the smaller things.
Sure.
And I'm going to say the one of the favorite things is the World Showcase Players in England.
The dearly departed World Showcase.
Yeah, Players. Yeah, I know. And I'm going to miss that a great deal because I just thought they were always able to bring people into it, and people really got into it, and it was always great the way they played off the participant. You know, they used to pick, I think, basically like three people out of the audience, pretty much. And no matter what, no matter how, they were always able to play off these people pretty well, and it was almost always a real entertaining show. We used to try to catch them at least, you know, always at least once, and try to catch them more than once whenever we were there. So that is one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad you mentioned that. This is, you know, we record these shows other than the live shows. They come out a little bit out of order. And I'm kind of stifling a giggle here because there's a rant coming from me here like around the end of this month about the topic of the changes in Epcot Entertainment that have come out over the last couple of months, because what you're talking about is kind of what is now missing from the changes that they've made in the Epcot Live Entertainment. You know, the World Showcase Players are gone. I never really felt like, you know, Mo Rockin' or British Revolution or whatever they were calling the current, you know, music group in England. It's not that particular group needed to be there. I'm fine with change, and I think it's good to get in new entertainment and you know, fresh sensibilities. But the choices that were made to replace what was really good quality live entertainment are just incredibly disappointing. And the case in point is, you know, what's happened with the World Showcase Players.
They were really good. The live statues in Italy were fantastic. They've been gone a while, but I mean, it's that was always so great because you can just kind of, I mean, yeah, you know, it was always on the schedule, and you can try to make, you know, we would try to make time, but you know, if you could just be wandering by and fall into these shows, and it's what made the World Showcase so great was this atmosphere of, you know, you're just walking around and here's some more entertainment and here's some more, and you don't always have to wait in line or, you know, have this great seat or, you know, take up, you know, 2 hours of your day. You know, those shows were 15-20 minutes done, and you always got a chuckle out of them. You always you know, walked away with a smile on your face going, yeah, that was really fun, you know. Hopefully they'll start to make some adjustments with this. I mean, I haven't been there and seen any of the new stuff, but I haven't heard a lot of great things about it, you know. So it's going to be kind of interesting the next visit.
Right, yeah. I mean, I will say it does sound like there's some tweaking already happening. So hopefully they'll continue to listen to guest feedback and they'll continue to make some adjustments and improve the product, because I think that those little moments, like you just said, it's maybe 20 minutes out of hours that you spend at Epcot, but they really kind of, as I was saying at the beginning, set it apart. This is what makes it a Disney theme park experience and not just an amusement park.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys as well, that especially the in the UK, that little skit that they did was fantastic. And I know our son has a great memory of that, simply because, again, well, my wife was picked to be a part of it, as she tried to avoid being part of it. But,
well, that's the ones they usually get, are the ones that are trying to hide. And a lot of times they make the best. They make some of the best people. So,
well, you know, the one of the items here on my favorite show list, I'm going to kind of harken back to what David was talking about with the Disney Junior show over at Hollywood Studios. The one on my list here also comes from Hollywood Studios, and it's kind of the same idea, and that is Jedi Training Academy.
You took mine. Man!
Yeah, you know, the Training Academy is terrific because, number one, the interactivity and the way that they get the kids involved in it is wonderful. It's my kids, and they love thrill rides at Disney, but JTA is their must-do. You know, we'll even often make a second trip to Hollywood Studios during even a fairly short trip because they want to do Training Academy again. And as a matter of fact, it was a priority for my daughter when we were in Disneyland. She had to do Training Academy there because she turns 12 this year. And so this is the last year she can do it. And we weren't sure what our plans were going to be in June. So it was potentially her last chance. And she was not going to miss a chance to do Jedi Training Academy. You know, I think that, first of all, the cast members that run Training Academy are terrific. We seem to get the same Jedi Master most of the time we're there, but he's just really good. He handles the curveballs that kids throw at him so well. And yes, the jokes are tired and they're dad jokes, and that's why I love them. But the show is fun. The kids love it, and it bottom line is that it's good enough that it actually drives us to the park. And so for that reason, it's got to be on my favorite shows list. I don't know. Was there anything else you wanted to add to that or about why it was on your list?
Well, I just like the fact that you go, and yes, it's the same jokes, but you never know what you're going to get when it comes to the kids, because you can watch one show and it goes exactly how they plan it. And, you know, everyone follows directions. And then you get the show where the one kid is trying to take off Darth Vader's head all the time and jumping at him. And I have video of this. It's fantastic. But it is – you never know. And you got to give it to the one guy that I've only ever seen do it. He kept his cool the entire time, or does all the time. I don't know how he does it. I really have no clue.
Yeah, I've only seen him almost laugh once. He stifled it very well.
Nice.
I think I remember hearing about a kid that decided to take Vader's offer and switch to the dark side at one show. Yes. That would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, there's video of that one on YouTube. you can search for it. It's actually really funny.
Did they play along with it?
As much as he could.
Okay.
Within the framework of the show.
Nice.
And actually, I should mention, that's one of the things I kind of prefer, having now seen the Disneyland version. One of the things I prefer about the Disney World version is that when those curveballs come like that, they have an opportunity to do something with it. In the Disneyland show, they've got, you know, Darth Vader fighting on the stage, and at the same time, Darth Maul is fighting down in front. And because there are two battles going on simultaneously, there's not as much of it's more of a line up and do your battle than it is a continuation of the show.
Right. Well, they do it that way Star Wars Weekends, right?
They do it that way at Disney World on Star Wars Weekends, I believe, yeah.
That's a volume thing, I'm sure.
Exactly. It is.
Now, the only time our son had done that was in, like, July, and that's the way it was done.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, and it's probably just one of the benefits of doing it when it's a little less busy in the parks, is that you get, you know, just Vader, and they can really take a little more time and a little more focus on what's happening on the stage, because they're not trying to cycle as many through as possible. All right. Well, I think it's Darcy's turn. Have we gotten one of your favorites yet, Darcy?
I'm going to stick with Animal Kingdom, actually, and a show that we really enjoy is Flights of Wonder.
Nice.
We probably went, I don't know how many trips we had gone, and never really fitted in anywhere to our schedule. And it was actually a trip that my wife and I took by ourselves that our son still doesn't know about, that we decided to, you know, we were taking a little less of a commando approach, and went in and saw the show and really enjoyed it. So the next time we were back, we took our son in, and again, luckily he was chosen to be part of the show. He seems to have that luck, or at least he did when he was younger. And then last spring, we took my wife's parents in to see it, just seeing how these birds perform and the skit with the tour guide, and I think both times we've seen the same guy, and he's fantastic, and it's just a really interesting show.
All right, yeah, and then, you know, those kinds of shows are especially challenging, because it's one thing to work with kids, it's entirely another to have to work with animals. You never know what they're going to do, and they let them, you know, I mean, those birds are trained to fly out over the audience and back.
Yeah, it's really, especially the ones that come right across the top of your head. If you're not paying attention, it can really scare the crap out of you.
So there's the tip.
Hopefully it doesn't scare the crap out of them.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, here's the tip. Distract the wife and then have fun. Okay, so we've gone through one round of everybody's favorites. We're back around to David. So, David, you have another favorite show, favorite live entertainment at Walt Disney World you'd like to share?
Yeah, okay. I might take a little flack for this one, but I'm going to go with for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration of awesomeness. I added the last part. For a show that they threw together in what seems like about a week and a half before they started doing the summer celebration. I'm sure it was longer than that. They did a pretty good job. Obviously, basically, it's a condensed movie. They took the whole movie, took all the actual talking out of it, and put all the songs in with a bunch of stick from two people that really were just relating it to all the parents that were there. I mean, okay. When you can work in a Game of Thrones joke into a Frozen sing-along event, they might have actually had two. But it was enjoyable. I mean, obviously we went there because my daughter wanted to, you know, see Elsa and Anna and sing, or Anna, as she always corrects me, and sing along and do all that. It's a good show. It's put together well. I really wasn't a fan of, and I think it was just they were trying to get as many shows as possible in, so it was herding cattle both in and out. And we kind of we drew the short straw on seats. We were right behind a pillar.
Yes, the bleachers.
Yes. So, but overall, it was a good experience. I'm glad they're kind of keeping it around. I don't know for how long. I know a lot of people are getting frozened out. But I thought they did a good job with what it is, without going like in going to a full stage show, and I'll just leave it at that since we're still talking about stuff and there's other options down the road. But instead of going to like a full rewritten stage show and just kind of they did a good job. The two MCs, the historians of Arendelle, were rather funny and tied the whole thing together. So, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that one, because it's easy to, you know, not think of it on a list like this, because it does seem still to be a, you know, technically temporary show. But as Coy was just asking in the chat room about, you know, whether they're keeping it, so far it's been extended at least through winter here. So, you know, it's like every time it's due to expire, they extend it. And it's been popular enough that it's, you know, it's become a FastPass Plus attraction. People are using the FastPasses for it. You don't really have to necessarily, like with most shows, you'd get in anyway, but, you know, you might get stuck with David in the bleachers behind the pillar if, you know, you skip the FastPass version. So, I don't know. Has anybody else, Don or Darcy, did you get a chance to check out the for the first time in forever show?
That wasn't there when I was there. That started.
Yeah, I think I missed it.
Yeah, it was just like I think it was like 2 weeks later or something like that. It started up and my daughter was kind of disappointed, even though she's a little older. She really loves the Frozen thing. So, but we did not get to see that, so I couldn't put that down. So
right. Yeah, I mean, look, I give them credit for putting together a quality show in a relatively short period of time when it comes, you know, for Disney at least. I mean, how many years did it take them even to do the Little Mermaid show that's now been running forever, right?
Right.
So to be able to come up with this as quickly as they did and to have something that, you know, I've got clients who got fast passes for it once, you know, went to see it and the kids, you know, talked about it so much after that they ended up having to make another trip back to Hollywood Studios. Just like we make the trip back so that my kids can do Training Academy, you know, they made the trip back specifically so that their kids could listen to the, you know, whole Frozen sing-along bit again. So, all right. Good choice, and I'm glad you mentioned it. Don, how about you?
I would say the next one would be Divine in okay. Animal Kingdom. And, you know, it's just crazy amazing what she's able to do. You know, and it's something we always try to catch as well. You know, don't always get to see her, but really enjoy that.
Okay. And talk for a minute about it, because, you know, we've talked about Divine on the show before, you know, when we focused on Animal Kingdom or things like that. But, you know, it doesn't come up all that often. And you really, if you want to experience Divine, you kind of have to know to be watching for her.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because she's pretty much mostly in one of the same areas, but she can move around a little bit. And, you know, unless you know what you're looking for, which is all part of the thing, you know, she blends in with what she's into the forest in there, and it's really different.
I mean, so basically what you have is a still performer, right, who is completely covered in vines, so that she's able to blend into the foliage that's along the paths there at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And she just kind of hangs out. And, you know, if you're watching carefully, you'll see her kind of move slowly. And she'll, you know, turn her head just enough that you can catch her face. And it's just fun watching, especially watching kids kind of, you know, recognize her, find her when she's first emerging.
Kids and then some of the adults that don't have a clue what that is, you know, and just surprises the heck out of them, you know, what the heck's going on? You know, I mean, it's entertaining watching the people, reaction to it as her actual performance. You know, that's always fun just to see how people are reacting to it.
Sure.
We saw her last March, actually, right near the front of the park, surprisingly enough, just by the stroller rental area.
Okay.
It was right at the park opening as well, too. So people had picked up on it right away. And I believe she actually did some poses for pictures with people, which was kind of cool.
That's nice. Yeah, you know, I wonder if she's kind of relocating a bit now and then just because of the construction going on at Animal Kingdom and, you know, needing to kind of avoid some of those construction areas.
Yeah, that could be. In our last trip, we did not actually go to Animal Kingdom. We just decided we didn't have a real lot of time, and between that and the heat, it was like, yeah, maybe this trip we'll end up missing that. Although it looks like it's going to be another June trip this year. Just found out my daughter's volleyball is going to be competing in the national tournament down there in June again. So
interesting. Okay, so when in June?
It's mid. What is it? I think it's June 15th is the first day we got to be there.
So you're gonna just
I'll be there
miss.
Too.
Oh, will you?
Will you?
Oh, that's right. That's yeah. David's trip is scheduled.
I'm there the 12th to the 20th. Today's day 180. I just made all my reservations this morning.
We haven't made. I mean, we just found there was just a meeting today about it, and the part of the thing is like while she's in the tournament,
right?
There's no time for actual Disney time, even though it's at World of Disney. They're like, you don't even. The girls are competing all day, and when they're not competing, they're resting. So it's you either add on before or after. You know, to
oh well, there you go.
Do something. So
add on after, and you'll run into any of the dads. Well, you add in before, you'll run into David.
Right.
If you add
right.
on after, you'll run into any of the dads who are coming in early for the Diz Dad's cruise.
Oh, okay.
I'll still be there till the 20th.
Right. Right.
So I'm close. Either way.
Right. Yeah. All right, back to live
back
entertainment.
As
entertaining as Don and his daughter are, Don, you just gave us a good, solo performer at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Looking for another, example, another show that you really enjoy. Darcy, what's another one on your list?
One that's, I guess, to switch parks this time back to Hollywood Studios, and that's the Beauty and the Beast show. It's a show I didn't think that I would be all that enthused to see. Kind of was forced to go into it with my wife. But I found it to be very entertaining. And the one of the things that stood out for us at the first time we saw it as well is we were down near the front on the right-hand side, and there was right in the front row, there was some hearing impaired people, and there was a couple of people there signing the performances for them, and it was amazing just to watch these two people sign all the songs from Beauty and the Beast and the facial expressions they used, and it was almost as entertaining as the show itself.
Yeah, it's a nice little bonus you get there just from the work that Disney does to keep their shows accessible.
True.
Yeah. What's sometimes fun about that show too is sometimes they. They've had like opening acts before the show, before Beauty and Beast starts.
Really?
I don't know how much they do it as much anymore, but I've seen who's the actor that played Mr. Miyagi?
Oh, Pat Morita.
Pat Morita. He did like about a 15-minute talking about. He was just talking about, his acting career and stuff like that and things that he's done. I mean, it was total surprise. It wasn't like, he walks on the stage and he just and you're talking about Disney and about acting and stuff like that. And everyone was like, wow, this is really cool.
Let me ask you, was that back in the days when they were still using Hollywood Studios, as an actual studio?
Yes, I believe it was.
Ah, okay. So, see, this is the kind of thing that has essentially gone away from Hollywood Studios, because I was meaning to mention, it occurred to me as we were going through here, that like two-thirds of what we're mentioning is entertainment at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And we haven't even talked about the big shows yet. I mean, Beauty and the Beast is the first time we've mentioned an actual stage show.
Right.
Well, to some extent, the Disney Junior show as well. But the first big stage show that we've mentioned from Hollywood Studios, but we've been talking about Hollywood Studios a lot. And this thing like, Pat Morita just stumbling by because he happened to be around. It's the kind of thing that's just gone from Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it's too bad.
There was another – and then another time we were there, they had like this acapella group.
Yeah, we've seen them before.
They were amazing. They were amazing. It was really cool. So – just something different there, too.
Well, I think any musical that can keep the attention of I think my son at the time would have been about 11. If it can keep his attention, it must be a pretty good show.
That's true. Hey, it kept the focus of an 11-year-old boy. That doesn't happen too easily.
I was just going to say, Beauty and the Beast is what I was alluding to. We've always enjoyed it. I remember watching it when I was a little tyke myself. That's how long it's been around. Because my sister was, you know, that and Little Mermaid were the two movies of her generation growing up. So sure. We would see that every single time we were there. And I actually enjoyed it. So I don't know. Might be a little nostalgic. I don't know if the rumors of the Tangled takeover, are those still out there? Or have they kind of nixed to that?
Well, it's been out there. Supposedly the show is already written. It already exists. But who knows what's going to happen with it. I think it is, and this is kind of one of the things that I figured we would end up talking about here is, you know, Hollywood Studios is in major transition right now. And it's going to be interesting to see how much of this live entertainment that every single one of us has mentioned some element of live entertainment from Disney's Hollywood Studios. And as the park changes focus, it's going to be interesting to see how much of this live entertainment survives. I mean, looking back at my list, I've got more Hollywood Studios stuff to talk about from my list.
Yeah, me too. And that's a serious piece of real estate right there too, where the stage is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Size-wise and location, I mean, that's...
And as good as it... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and as good as Beauty and the Beast is, it would be nice to see another stage show there.
Well, I agree.
You know, I mean, it'd be nice to see it switched up, be it... I'm not sure. I mean, Frozen's great and all, but I'm not sure that we need another Frozen thing in addition to everything else that's being frozen out. But I would, you know, boy, it'd be kind of cool to get Aladdin in there. Or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, one of their other, you know, Broadway production type things, you know, where they condense them down. You know, wouldn't it be cool to be Newsies?
Yeah, no, that would be very interesting. Yeah, right. A good example of, but the problem is that as much as I think it would be very cool to see Newsies as a stage show at Disney World. I think it's more likely that we're going to get something like Rapunzel, that we're going to, you know, a Tangled show, or we'll get something permanent for Frozen, largely because I really get the sense that Hollywood Studios' focus is shifting, and whatever entertainment we end up with is going to likely be more focused on, you know, the park's new focus.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't see Newsies as being a realistic one, but I just think it would be cool to do something like that, or you know, it would be cool maybe to switch stuff up a little bit more. You know, I mean, like you said, I mean, Beauty and the Beast has been there forever, and you know, it's enjoyable to see, but it's like. A lot of times we don't do it because it's like, well, we've seen that, you know, we're not going to take up our time doing it again. But, you know, maybe if we needed a break or something like that, we would go in. But, you know, there's other things we'd rather do.
In that same vein, you know, when you're on a Disney cruise ship, that same cast does at least two different shows during any one sailing. And there's no reason you couldn't do the same thing on that stage where they're doing two different shows in that same stage.
Well, sure. And, you know, what I'm curious to see and seems to me almost to be too logical to not do, but of course they won't because it is that, you know, if there's substantial changes to Hollywood Studios like it appears there's going to be, I think it's pretty notable that we're more than halfway through this show and we haven't mentioned a single bit of live entertainment from the Magic Kingdom. It's the one park that seems to have really the least live entertainment options left. You know, you've got the trolley show that they do. You've got the Dapper Dans, and you know you've got a strolling musical something, right? You've either got the brass band or the Philharmonic or whatever. But that none of them seem to perform very frequently, and they don't seem to perform to big audiences.
Well, you got the big one in front of the castle, too, right?
That's true. The Dream Along with Mickey show, which has been there forever. That's true.
And ever.
And maybe somebody will mention that one. We still got, you know, a few mentions to go.
No.
But, yeah, I don't see that's it coming. I mean, we've all been complaining
about...
It's a show
we've never even stopped to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've all been complaining for years now about Stitch's Great Escape. That place is naturally a theater. So, mm-hmm. You know, put a show in there.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Enough for that rant. Let's keep going. I'm going to go ahead and take a turn here, I think, and mention yet another Hollywood Studios experience. And that is, you know, one that we talked about really right before we came on the show live. And that is the Hollywood Studios Streetmosphere. You know, those characters are wonderful. I love the way they engage the crowd. The interactions are always fresh, even though the show is essentially the same, because the people in the crowd are new and different. And the personalities are fun. And I'm hoping that we get a chance to spend some time and watch them, because we're going to be back in the parks in June. I really hope we're going to get to see them there, because I get the feeling that they're not going to be around long. I can't figure out a way that the Disney's Hollywood Studios Streetmosphere characters fit with this new vision of Hollywood Studios, with what it's becoming. And so I'm thinking that we really ought to figure that we're seeing them for the last time if we see them in June.
That's really too bad. That kind of goes back to the same thing we were talking about earlier with the World Showcase players and the loss, at least in a lot of people's mind, the loss to the World Showcase that is. And those you know, the citizens of Hollywood players, or whatever you want to call them, add so much to that park. And like I say, it's just a few-minute little break. But those performers, they bring so much to the people to stand there watching that people are always entertained by that. And to lose that out of the park, I think, is a blow for Hollywood Studios.
It's just an energy that it gives it. You know, it gives such an energy to the streets and stuff like that. Instead of people just constantly walking from one thing to the other, there's a little break. There's something else to catch you.
Sure.
That's the thing. You just kind of catch it as you're going by. It's not something that, I mean, you don't make it a destination. You're not standing in line,
sure,
waiting for it. And, you know, we've always caught, you know, tidbits here and there on the way out of the park, way into the park, depending on the time of day. But it's one of those things, like you said, Aaron, if it's gone, something's going to be missing. And I don't know if it fits in or not. You'd think that it does in some capacity. I mean, they're supposedly still keeping the Great Movie Ride around for at least another couple weeks.
True. That's true for at least a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, depending on what they do, I mean, you still got kind of that, you know, 1940s, 1950s vibe, at least going straight down, what is that, Main Street, Western California or Southern California? Is that what they call it?
Well, I mean, I guess I could still see, you know, if they preserve sort of the entrance up to where the theater is, the Chinese theater is, as sort of old Hollywood, and then you kind of branch off of that into, you know, Pixar Animation and Lucasfilm and, you know, that as the thematic focus for the rest of the park. I guess that there is a role there. It can serve as that transitional space. And hopefully if it does, there's a home for the citizens of Hollywood there. You know, if not, we could always end up, Adam just stole the words from my mouth in the chat room. You know, you could see more of the stormtroopers, you know, wandering around in the streets. Maybe you get Green Army men coming out more often from Pixar Place. So there are some other ways they can do it, but I don't think either the Stormtroopers or the Green Army men, as terrific as they can be, have the same kind of interactive energy as the citizens of Hollywood do, just because of, you know, there's no mask in between them, right? So that they can, you know, speak to people and people talk back to them more readily, I think, than they do somebody in a mask.
Right.
Well, there's no interaction. There's not as much interaction with the people. I mean, I guess there's some, but it's not the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we had great one-on-one interaction with the Green Army men, but it's not the same kind of interaction. It's not the same big group interaction kind of thing. Absolutely. All right, so Darcy, you have something else on your list?
Well, we'll stay at Hollywood Studios, and that's another one of the big shows. That's the Indie Stunt Spectacular.
Okay.
And that's a show that I think we've gone to every time we've been to Disney World at Hollywood Studios. It's one we always try to get to, and I can't tell you how many times I've tried to get in that show and actually was successful, I think, the last time we were there, being selected as one of the extras. And it's I don't know if anybody else has done that, but it's certainly a different experience because you don't see the show as an extra. You're paying attention to what they tell you to do, and that's what you do. So you miss, you know, a good probably 2/3 of the show by being an extra. But it's still a pretty cool show. And
go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to say it's always something I've wanted to do. I've never been picked, but I've always wanted to be in that. That's, you know, definitely one of my favorite movies of all time. favorite things.
Jumping up to try and get picked one time, I scared a woman sitting in front of me. I think she jumped right off the seat. But she had never been to the show before, so she didn't know what was coming.
That's awesome.
Well, now the good news is that the Indy Jones Stunt Spectacular is one of the things that seems to have survived the new vision for Hollywood Studios. All the rumor mill stuff, at least, says that I guess, you know, Harrison Ford got involved a little bit, injected himself into it, and kind of pushed Disney and Paramount to go back to the table and, you know, do some more negotiation. And it sounds like, you know, that the Stunt Spectacular, either as it is or even a revamped show, is likely to continue. At least partially because, you know, Harrison Ford wanted to see it happen. And actually, it may be a small little piece in maybe getting us another Indiana Jones film.
Yay, because we can't end on the one that we ended on.
No.
What one is that?
Crystal Skull? Yeah.
No.
That doesn't count, right?
No,
we had this conversation once,
yeah,
pretty sure.
It has been sucked into that same negative zone universe as Star Wars 1, 2, and 3.
there was a 1, 2, and 3.
See,
that's what these are, right?
This is what I'm saying.
Yep.
All right. So that's a great suggestion, a great one, another kind of spectacular show, big show. Let's do one more round here. So, David, what's at the top of your Disney live shows?
I can't believe no one has said Mulch, Sweat, and Shears yet.
Okay. Nice pull.
Just saying. And I just want to say I'm 3 for 3 coming out of the coming out of Hollywood Studios. So I don't know what that says. I think we're all familiar with Mulch. They are fantastic as Mulch. They were fantastic as the Iceman on this last show. I don't know how they do that many shows in a night, let alone what they do in a day. But if you like campy jokes and classic rock, I guess we can call it, with a little bit of Metallica thrown in at one point, it is a must see. I don't know. Someone else jump in.
No, I mean I love the ever changing identity of Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. I think that it's fun. You know, they morph into whatever thematic name they need to, and kind of keep on doing what they do.
Yeah.
And they're good musicians. They're just consistently good.
Yeah. That's what makes me like them even more, is that it's not just – they're an actual band.
Right.
In Orlando, they're an actual band, obviously. They do the Disney gig, and they're true musicians. They're not just people that were thrown together. They've been playing together for a long time. So they play off each other. They feed off each other, not just musically, but, yeah, they interact with each other well. I don't know how much of it is actually scripted. Right. I don't know. But every time I've seen them, I've enjoyed them. So.
Okay. Well, no, that's again, like I said, a great example. Don, how about you? What's the top of your list?
The mute button.
The mute button is at the top of Don's list.
Oh, sorry. I would say, although it's not free entertainment, it'd be Cirque du Soleil.
All right. Well, we didn't say it had to be free, so yeah. I'm glad you brought that one up.
Yeah, we've seen them twice, and it's just, you know, I'm a Cirque fan anyway, but it's just amazing. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen them, and yet I can still remember almost of every act that I've seen, you know, and I still have it played in my head, and I'm like, you know, the way they do it. That's definitely one of my favorite things, you know. Obviously, we don't see – it's not like the entertainment in the parks where you can see it more readily, because I'm not kicking out that kind of money every time we go there.
Sure, but, sure.
You know, and there's plenty of other things that we like to do, but as far as pure entertainment, that's certainly up there.
Well, and I guess what I'm hearing from you is that, from in your opinion, you know, that show is definitely worth the price you paid. You know, that speaks volumes to me that, I mean, basically the cost to see Cirque is roughly the same as a hard ticket event ticket.
Yeah.
And, you know, to say that was still a value for you, even at, you know, $60 a head for your family, that to me tells me that it's a terrific show and that there's something there worth seeing.
It definitely is. You know, I mean, that's not for everybody. I know there's people that, I can't stand, you know, but I look at it as, you know, the performance of these people, the way they're able to do these things and the way it's just spot on. I mean, it's really fantastic.
Okay. Great. All right. How about you, Darcy? What's the top of your list?
I don't know if they're at the top of my list, but they're certainly, I guess, sort of like what David was saying, but switching parks, going over to Epcot, and that's the Jaminators. I love watching those guys. They, you know, you still get the, you know, the corny jokes, the corny lines that they throw in, but you know, just watching them wail away on those garbage cans and gardening instruments that they used, and they're very talented, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love the found instrument kind of approach there, and makes it a lot of fun. And they're another one that's been able to handle sort of the morphing identities. For a while there, when Test Track was in its renovation, they were doing some sort of I forget the name of it now, but they were, you know, doing some performances over in that area. That where they pretended to be somebody totally different. You know, they would deny that they were the Jaminators. They were something else.
Yeah, my only gripe with them is they don't perform long enough. It's only like a 5 or 10 minute thing, you know. But I mean, it's not their fault. But I'm just saying, you know, I could listen to them for a lot longer.
I think the last time that I saw them was, I mean, it was longer than that, but it may have been because it was during the Flower and Garden show, and they probably performed for 15-20 minutes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice when they can extend out their set a little bit. I'm torn here looking at, you know, I still have two things on my list. I keep cheating on these shows and saying, I still have two left. I'm going to go ahead and mention here, because I think it deserves to be mentioned. I'm going to mention the Hoop-Dee-Doo dinner show. I'm trying to avoid the Q word. It's just
so, say it.
It's so rich in Disney history. And I know the show has changed. There are some changes just within the last couple of years because they had some copyright fights over some of the lyrics, whatever. The key is that it's a little taste of, you know, Disney, Walt Disney World before it was so much, right? When this show was developed because they needed to give guests something else to do. I mean, it really was created out of necessity originally. And it's just dad humor and, you know, campy fun and all you can drink beer, which makes everything funnier.
I didn't realize it was all you can drink beer. I have to go to this show.
Neither did I.
Yeah, it's beer and what is it, wine or sangrias or something like that?
Beer, it's beer, wine, and sangria. And yeah. Last I heard, the beer was Bud Light. And there are rumors on and off about Yuengling being included in the all-you-can-drink beer as well. I think it depends on whether they've got it available there on tap.
Okay.
If it's Yuengling, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep the Bud Light.
Yeah, pretty much. It's, I don't like that for free, even.
But, you know, the bottom line is it's a really fun show, and I wanted to mention it because it's a show that's outside the parks, and it does, you know, it does cost extra, but you do get fed. So I guess price-wise, it's actually fairly similar to Cirque in some ways. You know, the difference is that they give you a meal at Hoop-Dee-Doo. But, you know, it doesn't require a park ticket, so it's something you can do, like, on an arrival day. You can do that for dinner, not use a ticket in the parks. You can do it on – it's harder to do on a getaway day, obviously, because it's in the evening. But you can do it on a day you're taking a break from the parks if you're taking a longer trip. So, you know, I highly recommend it. And a lot of fun. And consistently – you know, the cast is always changing because they're bringing in new people. It's not like it once was where you've got one guy who's played the same role for, you know, 20 years. Those are competitive positions, and the people who get those roles really have earned them. So it's an enjoyable show. Okay, well, you know, we've gone through our lists, but we've got some folks still hanging in the chat room, and the discussion has been pretty robust. You know, Coy, Nate, Jason, any of you interested in dialing in and joining us in via Skype here and sharing a favorite or two of yours?
Nate's going to call in and yell at us because we didn't mention his favorite.
Well, I've got two more that are on my list. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, I'm sure we all had more to do. I had another one on my list too, which I haven't said anything about just yet, but I wanted to open it up to the listeners. So just waiting to see if anybody's going to raise their hand and say, "Ooh, pick me. So far, everybody's quiet.
Guess what? Well, the game just went to half, so they all got up to get another beer.
Okay, so yeah, it's now halftime, so everybody's on their bathroom break.
Exactly.
Please don't call in from the bathroom.
good acoustics.
It would be.
All right. Well, Well, real quickly, we'll go through and, you know, things that were on our list. So no headset for Nate, but he wanted us to make sure we mentioned Finding Nemo the Musical. And Coy's kids are loud, so he's going to beg off. But, Nate's throwing out a couple of good examples. Finding Nemo the Musical, which is a terrific show in Disney's Animal Kingdom. It was one that I just need to go and get a chance to see the show because I keep hearing great things about it, and I haven't been able to get my kid to go see it.
He's in the same boat.
Huh?
I'm in the same boat. We just can't get our son to go in and see it.
I can't stay in Animal Kingdom long enough to actually go to one of the afternoon shows, so.
Well, it's air conditioned.
Yeah, I know, but there's nothing else to do until you wait till – because the way they schedule it, every time I'm there, you can't do that and Lion King at the same time.
Right, true.
So you have to wait, and if it's 3:30, 4 o'clock show, that's not going to happen. Now, I've watched it on YouTube. It's pretty darn good, but
yeah.
I'm sure you're missing something.
Well, I have a child who was traumatized by the opening scene in Finding Nemo and refuses to revisit it, you know, 5 years later. So.
Yeah, understood.
So, you know, Finding Nemo the Musical was one that Nate was mentioning, as well as Voices of Liberty in The American Adventure in Epcot.
That's one of the ones on my list.
Yeah, one of those great examples of live entertainment in World Showcase that survived so far, and glad to see that. You know, the big one that was on my list is, you know, the one sort of nighttime spectacular that involves substantial live performances. And that's the Fantasmic show. You know, I mean, it didn't get into the one of the ones I mentioned as, you know, the top ones that we talked about during the show. But there's actually a lot of live work in Fantasmic. That's a big group of characters. There's some great stunt work that goes on during the Pocahontas scene, you know, along the mountain in the background. That was one of the things that, you know, that scene is not in the Disneyland version. And my daughter noticed that immediately and wanted to know where it was because she likes to watch for it. You know, there's some really impressive live performance work. And I think that for me, that's one of the things that makes Fantasmic sometimes one of my favorite nighttime spectacular shows is because it does have that live performance element that you don't get in either Illuminations or Wishes. You know, usually I prefer those, especially, you know, I'm a sucker for Wishes, but sometimes that live aspect is kind of what I want at the end of the night. I don't know. Anybody else have an honorable mention they want to make sure we talk about before we leave?
Yeehaw Bob.
All right. So talk about Yeehaw Bob, because that's another one that I have always wanted to see. And for whatever reason, something always gets in the way and I don't get out there in the evening to see him.
Yeehaw Bob, piano player extraordinaire. And he can do requests on virtually any kind of song that you can imagine. And on top of that, he's just very entertaining in his presentation, gets everybody involved, you know, gets the audience going real well. It's just a fun time. You know, it's just, you know, you walk out of there with a smile on your face going, that was well worth it. That was fun. It was a nice, relaxing evening, you know, just kicking back and having fun.
Yeah, and from what I understand, you know, he generally does two shows a night. The earlier show is more scrupulously family friendly. You know, not that there's anything terribly inappropriate in the late show, but it's more, you know, more adults because the show doesn't even start until what, 9:30 or so?
I can't remember the exact time, so I
okay. The late show is pretty late.
Yeah.
And it's there in the River Roost Lounge at Port Orleans on the Riverside side. At Riverside. And again, that's a good example of something that is a nice arrival night entertainment piece because, you know, you can go check them out at Port Orleans Riverside. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to pay, you know, there's no park ticket. You can get, there's a limited food menu there from the lounge. There's a regular drink menu. You know, there's the Port Orleans counter service isn't far away. So, there's some options for food and drink and it can be a nice, you know, way to relax when you, first arrive, or a nice way to kind of jump into a Disney vibe when you first get to property.
Definitely.
All right. Any other honorable mentions that somebody want to mention? There's been some discussion in the chat room about whether Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor counts as live entertainment. I would say no. There is some, obviously, live voice work that gets done. But, you know, there's the majority of the show is pre-drawn animation, and there's a lot of elements of the show that are pre-recorded. I mean, I guess you could make some of the same arguments about the
Turtle Talk.
Well, yeah. Turtle Talk, but I'm talking about even Little Mermaid at Hollywood Studios, right? I mean, there are big elements of that show that are pre-recorded.
Right.
You just happen to have a couple of live actors out. So you know, there's an interesting question there too, I guess. But To me, it has to do with sort of, it's hard to say this, warm versus cold media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monsters, Inc., Laugh Floor is cold media because you're looking at a screen and you don't have that, you know, warm sense, that the warm intimacy of human interaction. And the same thing is true, I would say, of Turtle Talk. And that's what makes them different than even, you know, the Little Mermaid show, where big chunks of it are pre-recorded, but you've got a live body there. At least that's my take. I don't know. Anybody else want to argue with me on that?
No. No, sounds that like makes a well, sense.
Sounds like a well-reasoned, logical argument.
I said a long time ago, I'm not going to argue with lawyers. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've heard our ideas for what we think some of the best live shows are at Walt Disney World. Bottom line is, you know, I think sometimes we get so, caught up in talking about the latest and greatest attractions and roller coasters and, you know, impressive animatronics on dark rides that we forget just how much of what we love about Walt Disney World comes from live entertainment. And so we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what your favorite live entertainment is at Walt Disney World. What did we miss? What did we leave out? Tell us we were wrong about any of the things that were on our lists. You can do that by emailing us at podcast@dizdads.com, visiting our blog, dizdads.com, tweeting us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participating in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, this is Aaron Rittmaster with David Jewart.
Good night, everybody.
Darcy McKillop.
Good night from the north.
And Don Donfris.
Good night, all.
Hey, guys. We've now done a quarter of a way to 1,000 shows. Nice.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Very nice. It's very nice.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.